Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today I would like to give you the first of a series of three sermons concerning the discernment of spirits. Now, the spirit of anything is the principle of its life and action. The principle of its life and action. So we speak of the spirit of a movement. Or we speak of the spirit of prayer. Or the spirit of contradiction. Your body has a spirit, which is your soul. And that is the principle of your body's life and action. Take away your soul, and your body is dead. Now, in the spiritual life, there are three spirits to be discerned, meaning three special ways of acting or special forces that animate your actions and force them in a certain direction. And those three spirits are, first of all, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Secondly, the Spirit of the Devil. And thirdly, the Spirit of Nature. Every act you perform will be inspired by one of those three spirits. Spirit of God. The devil, nature. Now, today I would like to speak to you about the spirit of nature. When we say nature, you must understand that we are not talking about nature the way God created it. Before that is the perfect human nature that was elevated by sanctifying grace. We are talking about wounded human nature. Human nature that has been faulted by original sin. And I remind you that although you are baptized, and although the stain of original sin is taken away in baptism, nevertheless, you still labor under the effects of original sin. Inclinations to evil. And you must fight against these effects your whole life. It is only the great saints that manage to completely overcome the effects of original sin. But nevertheless, we must strive every day to fight against these defects that are in us due to original sin. The fruit, therefore, of the spirit of nature are the seven capital sins: gluttony, lust, envy, anger, sloth, vainglory, etc. All of those sins can be reduced to the impulse towards self-satisfaction. For the man who is animated by the spirit of nature sees this world as the only world that there is. He doesn't aspire to a world beyond. He sees this world as if. As the only world. The world in which he must make his way and have his happiness and seek his pleasures. And so as a consequence, self-satisfaction and self-love are the hallmarks of the spirit of nature. Now this spirit of nature also inclines us to confuse supernatural charity with humanism. supernatural charity desires eternal salvation for a man. Humanism desires a nice life for a man. And with these two separate goals, supernatural charity and humanism are radically different. Yet the natural man will think that he's being charitable, for example, if he should counsel someone to go and get an abortion. Why? Because it solves a problem of this life. The spirit of nature also detests mortification and humility. It absolutely detests those two things. The idea of denying yourself in this life, denying yourself any pleasure, any good thing, is alien to this spirit. It would be like denying yourself the happiness of heaven. For these people want their heaven here. And so they don't know anything about doing without in this life in order to have greater life in the next. Nor do they know anything about decreasing themselves in the eyes of men here in order to increase in the life of God inside of them, the virtue of humility. They know nothing about that. They know nothing about sanctity, personal sanctity. They have no idea of the glory of God. These are the ones that will complain about the money spent on a cathedral or a great church because they say, oh, that could have been given to the poor. They have no sense of the glory of God. They have no sense of the salvation of souls. And that is why we hear from Novus Ordo bishops nothing about the sanctification of your souls. You never hear them speak about that. Never. Rather, they are concerned about things like South Africa or Central America or MX missiles. That's all they speak about. That's all they're concerned about. They are not concerned with the salvation of souls. They are concerned with the salvation of the belly. And they see as the means of the salvation of the belly the introduction of communism throughout the whole world. And so they busy themselves with pushing the most dreaded enemy of Catholicism, worse than the Turk, worse than anything that has threatened the church in all of her centuries, worse than the Roman, worse than the Hun, is the Bolshevik. And with the spirit of naturalism, these bishops run around and busy themselves destroying the very church that they claim to represent. And so, the natural man, or the man who is filled with the spirit of nature, has the following characteristics. First of all, he believes in freedom of religion. This would be a typical man that you might know. First of all, he is imbued with the spirit of the freedom of religion, meaning this, that he says that everyone has the right to believe whatever religion he pleases. And why does he say that? Because for him, religion is not an important thing. It's like your nationality. You're Italian, you're Polish, whatever religion you please is fine, because religion is not important for him. Secondly, he has no moral standards. None. No moral standards. Like electricity, he will find the easiest way out. Whenever pressure comes to bear, a divorce in the family, for example, or his own marriage not going too well, he will himself seek a divorce. Whatever is easiest, whatever gives the most pleasure, whatever relieves the most pain is the right thing to do. He believes in no dogma. There is no fixed absolute for these people. Everything is relative for them. He hardly ever prays, and if he does, it is very superficially. He usually has a nice house and a big car. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But when you seek those things because this is your heaven on earth, then there's something wrong with them. Your mansion is in heaven. And when you seek the things of this world in order to make them your heaven on earth, then there's something wrong. He practices artificial birth control. He esteems people for purely natural virtues. Usually these people admire a Mother Teresa or something like that. People who do natural things, feeding the poor for natural reasons, not for supernatural charity. They esteem those people. They think that they're doing a lot of good, etc. He is usually very impure, but he's not troubled by it. He either believes in divorce or is himself divorced. He is very good to his wife and children, and to top it all off, he or she is usually very nice, very easygoing. And you probably know people like that whom I have just described in your business or in your neighborhood. People who you get along with, but who have such a different way of looking at life from the way you look at it, that you really can't have much in common with them. Now you might say, well, that's nice to know about the spirit of nature. But like the Pharisee in front of the temple, you might be saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. And while I think that probably you do not fit the description that I just gave, nevertheless, you might be somewhat infected by the spirit of nature. And I'll give you some signs of infection with the spirit of nature. The first sign of infection is having the attitude of respecting the views of others. Now, it is true that in certain cases there is legitimate disagreement. But I'm referring to respecting the views of others when they are in contradiction to the faith. Remember that there is one God, one faith, one church, one Christ. And any view or opinion or teaching which contradicts that one God, one faith, one church, and one Christ is not to be respected but is to be despised. The Catholic Church does not respect the view of others if that view is in contradiction to its teaching. It does not. And while we may know people who might be in very good intentions and might be themselves very good people, in error, we don't respect their views because we like them. Do not confuse those two things. You can have a good person who is misled, but you don't respect their views. Another danger sign is the compromising of the laws of God for fear of losing your family or friends. Very common. I'm sure you all have the experience of having family or friends who do not agree with what you do. They probably think that you're way out or insane. All kinds of adjectives. And when you come in contact with them, there is that pressure brought to bear to think and do things their way. For example, suppose one of them gets an annulment in the Novus Ordo Church, one of these bogus annulments which are no better than divorce. Actually, they're worse than divorce. And then goes off and gets married again. And they invite you to the wedding. Suppose they're very close friends, very close relatives, your brother, your sister. There is that temptation from the spirit of nature to compromise the law of God, which says that is no more of a marriage than Henry VIII's marriage to Anne Boleyn, and I will have nothing to do with it, even if I should lose every friend and family that I have, even if I should be deprived of every consolation in this life. I will not compromise the Catholic faith. But many Catholics who are at traditional communion rails nevertheless go back to their family and friends and compromise themselves, compromise the law of God, because they're fearful of losing their love. The same is true if we fail to correct those whom we love for fear of losing their love. That is a sign of the spirit of nature. Another sign is esteeming the standards of the world over the standards of the faith. For example, we see it many times. This is among people who come to the traditional Mass. I'm not talking about Novus Ordo or anything like that. People like yourselves. They say, well, I would rather not send my child to a small Catholic school because he will not have many friends, he will not have many extracurricular activities, he will not have a lot of sports, this and that. And instead, they send their children off to the public school, and there they learn to become little devils. They are poisoned. And so, by the spirit of nature, they substitute the standard of the world, which is sports or extracurricular activities, for the faith. Always understand that it would be better for your children to be dunces with the faith than to be great intellectuals or great businessmen or great successes or rich without the faith. It would be better that they would be lying in the gutter selling pencils with the faith than a pagan, a rich pagan without the faith. And that is not to say that we are incapable of operating schools which turn out intellectual young men and young ladies. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. It is in our schools where they learn something. Whenever children from our schools transfer to public schools, they are grades ahead of the children of their own age. Because they do nothing in those public schools. They just run around following the impulses of nature. But even if it were true, even if the accusation were true, that a Catholic school cannot provide for my child what a public school could, even if that were true, your children would be better off knowing nothing with the faith than knowing everything without the faith. Always remember that. And so, examine yourselves concerning these danger signs of the spirit of nature in you. In the next two sermons, I will speak to you about the spirit of the devil and the spirit of God. But for now, examine your consciences, and if there is anything that I brought up, and if you find yourself acting on the spirit of nature, then kneel down and ask God to give you the grace to mortify whatever is not of Him inside of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.